Brother Blanton, the yellow light on this thing was a blinking. I don't know what that means. Is it working? Coming through okay? No, it's not coming through. You can't hear me? We may need to switch to the pulpit mic, brother. If you do, that's fine. That'll be great. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, if you will. Verse 9, the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wine." Been preaching to you about, you know, get wisdom and be wise about things. Tonight I want to preach just a little bit about be wise about money. All right, be wise about money. Most folks today are not very wise about money. All right, they're just not. I don't think anybody in Washington is wise about money. All right, from the things they do, they have no wisdom. Most people in government, I think you can fix any problem if you'll throw enough money at it. All right, every time I hear a politician say, "Hey, we're going to do something about education," I grab my wallet. Because that's their only answer for anything is we need to spend more money, and if we'll just allocate more money. But we talk about the government, we complain about that, but the truth of the matter is most people in this world seem to think that money will cure all their problems. Hey, preacher, if I hadn't have been born in that poor family, if I hadn't been born into poverty, my life would have been all different. I wouldn't have spent that time in jail, maybe. I wouldn't have got involved with drugs. When I look back at that, and I think about my dad. He was born into poverty. Born into poverty. The only good thing about it, he was born into poverty, and his dad was a farmer, so they did eat, all right? He was born into poverty. And people have that idea, money will fix my problems. Folks, it won't do that, all right? Sometimes an influx of money is accompanied with an influx of problems. Amen. It's not the cure-all, all right? It's not the cure-all. And I just want to preach to you a little bit, and we're going to start right where you figured we'd start, okay? Because it starts with stewardship. Stewardship. There is no wisdom about finances and money without the principles of stewardship. Now, you say, well, what in the world is stewardship? Stewardship involves all that you have. Amen. And money's part of that. Right. Money's part of that. But stewardship involves everything that you have, everything that there is. And the whole principle, that maybe the first part I'd say of stewardship, is the understanding and the recognition that God owns it all. God owns it all. And what he does, he entrusts us with what we have. He entrusted you what you have. So why didn't he trust you even more? You really don't want to ask that question. Maybe he didn't think he could trust you with more. All right, maybe that's it. I don't know. But I'm just saying it involves that stewardship. Look, everything we have, God gives it to us. Hey, preacher, I worked hard for everything I have. I know, but if God hadn't been in it, you couldn't have worked. That's exactly right. You could not have worked. You would not have been able to do what you did, all right? So he entrusts us with what we have. He allows us to get it, allows us to have it. Then you're responsible for what you do with all of it. Right. With all of it. Some people think, well, the preacher, all he wants that 10%, that tithe. Well, that's the first fruit. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." But wait a minute, stewardship doesn't end with that. You can't come to God and say, okay, I made 50 bucks, there's your 5, I've got my 45, see you later. I can do what I want with a 40. No, you can't. That's not the principle of stewardship, okay? The principle of stewardship is God's given us everything we have, and the question is, how are you going to take care of that which God's given to you? Remember in the New Testament, it talked about the parable of the talents? and one fellow got maybe 10, one got 5, one got 1. And the 10-talent fellow, he comes back to the time where he stands before the master to account for what he's done, and he says, "Man, you gave me 10, I've earned 10 more. There they are." Amen. The guy that got 5 said, "Well, you gave me 5, so I earned 5 more. Here you go." The guy that had 1 said, "Well, I knew you were a hard man, and you wanted things done right, so I buried the 1 I had so I'd still have it when you got here, and there it is." Now, that was the fellow was an unprofitable servant. Okay, unprofitable servant. But that's the way I'm afraid too many people are, and far too many Christians look at it that way. And we don't realize that principle of stewardship, all right? He gets the first fruits. But can I say this to you? He's to have the priority in everything. In everything in our lives. Not just giving, but he is to have the priority in giving. But he's to have first place in our life, period. He's to have first place in our time. We ought not to cut him out of our life. We ought not to go through life thinking, "I don't have time to serve God." I've talked to people before, and they've told me, I remember this one guy in particular, he told me, he said, "I'm saved, know I'm saved." I'm trying to witness to him, and I'd ask him about going to church. He said, "I don't have time to go to church," and he told me everything he did, and he said, "I'm working hard so I can retire early." What a mistake. He pushed God out of his life. Now, can I say this? That's always a mistake. God ought to have priority in it, okay? Everything. Now, the tithe, yep, belongs to God. It's His. It's His without a doubt. But the giving, that giving of the tithe, that first fruit, the Bible said there in chapter 3, verse 9, it honors God. It honors God. And we're to honor Him, okay? It honors Him. But the truth of the matter is, did you get what the other verse said? Did you get what verse 10 said? Verse 9 said, you bring the first fruits, you know, and you honor the Lord with your substance. You bring the first fruits to Him. But then verse 10 says, so. Amen. Now, that's almost like saying, and if you do, right. And if you do, thy barns will be filled with plenty. Thy precious shall burst out with new wine. That is, God's saying to us, boy, if we'll do it, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. The reason a lot of people suffer and the reason a lot of people don't prosper is because they don't honor the Lord with the first fruits. And it's a struggle for them. Some always seem to have trouble getting ahead simply because they've never learned to give back to God. What a mistake. What a mistake, all right? Dude, I want you to understand that principle. Starts with a principle of stewardship. You've got money. You've got a salary coming in. You've got retirement coming in. There's several of us here, you know. We're that age and haven't retired. I told a person at the doctor's office today, I said, "Look, I'm a preacher. I haven't retired. I still work. I want to be in good shape to keep working. Let's not drag our feet on what we need to do, all right?" But hey, some are here, you're retired. You say, "Well, preacher, what about us?" You still honor the Lord. You still honor the Lord, okay? Still honor that. You're accountable. I'm not preaching just on tithing, but you're accountable to God to give that tithe. Yes, and if you will give that tithe, I want you to know God still expects you to be a good steward of the rest of it. Good steward of the rest of it. You say, what does that mean? Point number 2. First, it starts with stewardship. The second, it continues with control. Amen. Control. A lot of people get in trouble because they don't control their financial situation. And really, they don't control their financial situation because they don't control themselves. Amen. They don't control themselves. Control your wants. Our problem is we can see it every day in our house. You said, what do you mean? Television.
Amen.
And those advertisements that come on. They'll make you want stuff you don't need.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You read the ads in the paper. I guess they still have ads in the paper. Don't really know. But, I mean, do it. Are you, I guess the way the ads come now is on the internet. All right? You know, I get so aggravated watching something on, trying to watch some YouTube video, and every so often they butt in with some of the advertisement for the dumbest piece of junk in the world. But yet I look at it and realize, you know, there's people that advertising makes them want that. And you got to learn to control your wants, all right? Can I say this? You don't have to have it just because you want it. You don't have to have it just because you want it. It's not a requirement. Well, I want it, so I have to have it. No, you don't. No, you don't, you know. Doesn't have to work like that. You don't have to have the latest and the greatest. Paid off my car a couple of months ago. Told my wife, we're going to drive these for a while. For a while. Hey, look, as long as it gets me down the road and it's dependable and it's got a heater in the winter and an air conditioner in the summer,
amen,
I'm okay. So, well, I want something that will tell me I'm getting out of my lane. Don't you think you ought to be paying attention if you're driving? My sister-in-law's got a car like that. I think it was hers. I drove it one time. Thing started beeping. I thought, what in the world's wrong with this thing, you know? If you turn the blinker on and you get out of your lane, it doesn't beep at you. But how many years have you driven without something to beep? Say, hey, you're getting out of your lane. I don't think they ought to put a beeper on there. If they're going to have that on there, they ought to have a voice that says, hey, stupid! You know, are you awake? Hey, look, but you understand what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to think I'm against it. I'm not against it, but you don't have to have it. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to have it. What's the latest iPhone? 413, something like that? I don't know. 14? I think iPhone 14. I think mine is half that. I think this corresponds to an iPhone 7, okay? The other one will do all this other stuff. The main thing I want my cell phone to do is make telephone calls. That's what I want it to do. I don't want it to do anything else. It does. If I need to take a picture, I can get a camera. You know, it's not... I'm just trying to get you to see you don't have to have the latest and the greatest, especially if your finances are running tight. If they're running tight, you don't have to do that. Now, I learned a long time ago I had to control my wants. I remember the first credit card I got. First credit card. It was a JCPenney credit card. Quit laughing about that. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Got a JCPenney credit card. And in those days, JCPenney's were stores that they were worth going to.
Yes, sir.
They had a candy counter in the middle of the store.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I could go up there, say, take half pound those M&Ms right there.
Yeah.
Let me give him a card for that. And all was well and good. The good thing about it is, you know, you charge a few things there and the bill comes, you don't have to pay it all.
That's right.
Hey, man, just pay a piece of it. Yeah. You're all right. Don't pay the whole bill, just pay a little bit. You'll get around to it when you get to it, you know?
Right.
I learned real close that they start charging stuff called interest.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And I can remember looking back on it and say, wait a minute. When I paid the bill last month, I only owed this much. Holy cow, look what I owe now. I learned that I could keep that piece of plastic in my pocket, walk right by the candy counter, and it didn't hurt me a bit. Hey, I had to control my wants, all right? And when it comes to finances, it's one of the most important things you'll ever learn to do is control your wants. There's a difference between wants and needs. Difference between wants and needs. I remember when my wife and I got married, we shopped a lot. There was Diamond Supermarket right down here. It's not there anymore. The building's still there. It's some kind of restaurant supply place now. But there was Diamond Supermarket, and we shopped there a lot. And one reason is it had cheap cuts of meat. Yep. And cheap was the only thing we could afford. I mean, we knew where every special was at any fancy eating place, you know, like Sonic. We knew all those. We knew their specials. We knew, hey, tonight it's half price. You buy one, get one free, basically. Hey, what a deal. What a deal. We knew all of those. And man, we never bought anything if it wasn't on sale. If it wasn't on sale, we didn't buy anything unless it was just the absolute staples, you know. But if it was on sale, we'd get the sale paper on Sunday and go through and say, okay, who's got the best deals we can eat this week, all right? And we'd go through it. That's what we lived on. It didn't hurt us at all right? That's why we're both so skinny now. We dealt with it back then, all right? Hey, look, you don't have to have the best, the greatest. You can get by with less, all right? You can get by with less. Now, a lot of people don't grasp it. Proverbs 22, would you go there? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The Bible says this, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Now listen, in the Old Testament times, it was a practice to sell yourself into slavery in order to pay off your debts. And you say, man, I'd never do that. Yeah, a lot of people do exactly that with credit cards. They sell themselves into slavery because of their credit card. Purchase things they don't need, get overextended, and wind up in bondage to the lender. Look, when your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall. You can count on it. And, you know, I'm not saying all you people here have no sense about finances, but I've seen so many people have so much debt, it's unbelievable, especially credit card debt. Now, if you're not in control of yourself, it'd probably be better if you didn't have any of these. If you cannot control yourself, it'd probably be better if you didn't have any of these. You'd be better off. But a lot of people, man, you can't finance your life with a credit card. That's the highest interest that there is. And then you've got the penalties that get stuck in there. Hey, you make yourself servant to the lender. All right, you say, I've got to have some. No, you don't. We don't. It's amazing. Hey, there's thrift shops around here galore. Well, I ain't shopping there. Well, why not? When I was a kid, I was thrilled to get hand-me-downs from my cousin in Texas. Always thought, I don't know why I thought it, but always thought, man, he got the neatest clothes. You know? And I get those hand-me-downs, I'd wear those things, I'd thrill to death. I think about a member of our family that went to a high school, and they said in that high school, people would come up behind you and they'd pull your shirt collar back to see what the label was and to see if it came from one of the fancy stores in town. A lot of pressure put on people. I said, you ought to smack the person that does that to you. Just smack them. Hey, I'll tell you, I've got shirts hanging in my closet from Walmart that I've worn for 4 or 5 years. So how long do you plan to keep them? Till my wife makes me throw them away. That's how long I plan to keep them. They still wear good. And, man, hey, you wind up, if you let a credit card, it'll destroy you. So if you can't control yourself, don't have a credit card. If you can't control yourself, don't carry cash in your pocket. Got a friend of mine told me that his mother-in-law helped him with his money. And he said, I was having trouble with my money. And he was young, hadn't been married long. And he said one day she asked me, how much money you got in your pocket? And he told her. And she said to him, yeah, and by the end of the day, it'll all be spent. And he said, I realized what she was saying was the truth. I was spending it because I had it. Yeah. He said, people don't do that. I know people that do. They've got money and they look and they think, hey, wait a minute, can I afford that? Yeah, there's the money. I can buy that. Right. Wait a minute, what about the bill that's coming due next week? You can't spend it all right now because bills are coming due next week, all right? Learn to control yourself. You said, for what purpose? Man, am I ever glad you asked. Go to Proverbs 13, all right? Learn to control yourself. Proverbs 13, look at verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by, what's the next word?
Labor
shall increase. Now, in case your schooling is lacking and you didn't learn the six-letter words, we'll put a four-letter word in there. It means work. All right? You work. Look in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The diligent guy, the diligent, what does he do diligently? He works. He gets after it, all right? It's amazing how work can lead to financial blessing. But you know, there's a ton of people in the world hadn't figured that out. Ton of people in the world hadn't figured that out. They hadn't figured out, well, you know, if I'd go to work, I'd get me a job. I'd have money. And I look at that and I think, what could be simpler? Really, I'm even standing here preaching this to you. I'm thinking, I think you're all morons. But I don't. But I'm amazed at how many people, they don't want to work for a living. They're not willing to do anything. Or there's no job that's good enough for them. I always figured in my life there was no job beneath me. No job beneath me. I've talked to people. I believe I probably told Brother Dunbar this. If I didn't, I'm fixed to tell you now. Okay. But I think I told him then. I said, man, as far as being involved in the work of the Lord and working in the church, I said, there's nothing I haven't done. There's nothing I haven't done. I've dug the footer when you were building. I've put shingles on the roof more times than I wanted to. I've done those things, all right? I've plunged the toilets. I've cleaned the toilets. I've mopped the floors. I've vacuumed. None of that is beneath me. None of that. I never thought, oh, I'm too good for that kind of job. Couldn't do it. Hey, the first car I had was a 1950s. I'm not sure what year, but it was in the 1950s. Metropolitan, Nash Metropolitan. Now, most of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. It looked like a shoebox. Looked like a shoebox on wheels. And I can remember talking to kids that had been in our school, and they were talking about cars they wanted. I said, man, you'll just be happy you got one. I said, I don't care what it does, as long as it runs. I'm not riding in just anything. I'll tell you, if you was my kid, bless God, you could walk, all right? Wouldn't bother me at all. Just walk, no problem. Hey, it doesn't hurt that. There wasn't anything beneath me. Hey, you know what? That Metropolitan is what I could afford. What I could afford. Got the best gas mileage of anything I ever had. I got such good gas mileage that I really decided the gas gauge is broke. It wasn't moving, so I went in and filled it up. Couldn't put $2 worth of gas in it. Man, it's great gas mileage. Now, it was a 3-speed, and you had to learn to, you know, shift, and the clutch was touchy, and sometimes it got stuck in first gear. But you can still go down the road. But it got you where you were going. Got me where I was going. Hey, our problem is we can't control ourselves. And if we do, we don't control ourselves and put ourselves in the work. Working, it's amazing how it will help you. It's amazing how it will help you. Look, it finishes with faith, all right? Because money is important, people make it the most important thing. They'll do almost anything to have more of it. They'll do it. Now, let me say this. There's no sin in being financially well off. No sin. Not at all. All right? Not one bit. Not against you being financially. I don't care if you live in a 47-room mansion. Good for you.
Amen.
And I mean it. If you live in a one-room apartment, you can afford it. Praise the Lord. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Doesn't change my opinion of you one bit in the world. Not a bit, you know? Nothing wrong with being financially well off. I would say this to you. If you want to be financially well off, don't be an independent Baptist preacher, all right? Now, I say that, but I say this on the other hand. God has taken real good care of this old boy right here. Real good care of me, all right? The problem, though, comes in when money becomes your God. Proverbs chapter 11, would you look there? Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 28, just the first half of that verse. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. That's a sad fact. When you get to trusting in money, it's going to wipe you out. When money becomes too important to you, all right, make sure and work to make sure you're not trusting in your wealth. You say, well, what's wrong, preacher? I mean, if I don't just forget about God, look in Proverbs 23, would you? Proverbs 23. Would you look at verse 4, Proverbs 23? Labor not to be rich. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you just said where to work. You are. But don't just labor for the sake of being rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I could ask you how many have ever experienced the truth of that verse. Now, you don't have to be rich to see how money can just fly away. It is easy for that to happen. Easy for that to happen. But don't just labor to be rich. Hey, that can change overnight. Overnight. Let me suggest this to you. When it comes to money, don't let it get too sticky. Don't let it get too sticky. You say, what do you mean? I mean, always be ready to give to meet a need. Always be ready to give to meet a need. Don't sit there with money in your pocket when there is a need. I don't mean you got to give every dime you've got. But don't let it get so sticky that you can't turn loose of. Don't let that happen to you, all right? When you trust in money, Proverbs 28, verse 11. Proverbs 28, verse 11. The Bible says the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searches him out. Hey, the rich man is wise in his own conceit. When you trust in money, it'll ruin you. It can make a person arrogant, cocky, overconfident, and completely self-centered. Studying for this message, I read this illustration. A religious leader, I don't know if it pastor or whatever it was. But anyway, he took a guy to a glass. He took a guy to a window, and he said, look out there. What do you see? When he looked out, the guy said, well, I see people, you know, boys and girls and men and women walking along, cars. He said, all right. He said, over here now, come. He He sat him in front of a mirror, and he said, "Look in there, what do you see?" He said, "Well, I see myself." He said, "I want you to know this. Both of those are pieces of glass. But one of them had a thin coating of silver." And said, "You get that coating of silver, the only thing you see is yourself." I don't know if you can put that together, but boy, I thought tremendous illustration. We get too much finances, and we get to the point where the only thing we see is ourselves. Can I say this to you? The people that give, really give, and finance things are not wealthy people. They're not wealthy people. They're just people. The truth of the matter is, it's hard to get wealthy people to give. Unless it'll make a name for me. And everybody else sees it. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about giving of their time. I'm talking about reaching in their pocket and shelling it out. Hey, it's people like you that give. Not rich people. It's just people like us that give. Because God's got a hold of our heart, and we're not trusting in the riches, okay? We're trusting in God to take care of us, all right? My faith and your faith, I hope, is not in money, because to be honest with you, money can't buy the most important things in life. Can't do it. Money cannot buy you love. I'll tell you this, it can buy companionship, but not love. Not love. Money cannot buy you happiness. I heard the guy say, "Yeah, but you can be sad in a better part of town." I don't know about y'all, I don't enjoy being sad. I don't care what part of town I'm in. I'd just as soon be over in Diamond Hill, and I'm not cursing Diamond Hill, but it's not the world's greatest section of town, all right? But I'd rather be over there and be happy than be in Highland Park and be unhappy. It's not worth it. Money can't buy you smarts. Money can't buy you respect. It cannot buy you peace. It cannot buy you character. And it dead sure can't buy you salvation. Just can't do it. Three things. You know, money's too important when, number one, you make decisions about right and wrong based on a financial reward. Number two, you know money's too important when it sways you to compromise biblical conviction. Number three, you know money's too important when you even consider doing wrong for financial gain. Money's too important. Now, I've said all that, and I say this to you. Money troubles are serious troubles. Don't be the one, though, who causes that trouble because of a lack of self-control. Don't do that. Don't allow that to happen. If money's become too important in your life, then you ought to work to change it. You're to work to change it. Nothing wrong with saving for a rainy day. But can I say this? Remember, it rains on someone every day. Every day. He said, "Preacher, I'm not supposed to prepare for retirement." Didn't say that. I think it's wise to prepare for retirement. But be careful in that preparation that you're not cutting out God. You're not cutting out being generous, giving to make help meet a need. Don't let that happen to you. Money gets you. Don't let that happen to you. Your life is more important. It consists of money. More than money. You're going to be buried one of these days. And as I've always said, you're going to leave the same amount of money when you die that Ross Perot left, the same amount. You said, "What do you mean? He left everything and you're going to leave it. You're going to leave everything you had. You're not taking any of it with you. Just won't happen. It'll be left." Don't live this life scrounging and having those sticky hands that you can't turn loose. Don't let that happen to you. Don't do it. Be wise about money, all right? Invest it. Use it carefully. Be careful in that. But don't let it control you. You control it. You control it. Can I say this to you? There's nothing wrong with you going to the store, looking at something and saying, boy, that looks nice. I'd like to have it. Reaching in your pocket or even thinking about your bank account and saying, I can afford it. But you can still walk home without it. Amen. You can still walk home without it. For years, seriously, I'm going to tell you this. You may think I'm the biggest idiot you ever heard of. But I can remember wanting things when I was younger. But even I had the money. Now, not that I had a lot of extra money, but I had the money. I could buy it. But I thought, I ain't buying it till they put it on sale. I will not buy it till they put it on sale. That worked for me. Might help you. Be wise about your money. Don't forget where we started. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase, okay? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. But it starts with the Lord in the right place. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, guide and direct in everything is said and done. Would you speak to our hearts a little bit about finances tonight? Meet our needs. And Lord, help us to be honest with you in our dealings. Lord, help us not to let money get us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good to have you tonight. You're dismissed. Going to meet real quickly with everybody that's working in the Bible school, okay? James, are you in a real hurry? Could you wait? Because I may.